This episode is sponsored by Seed. Small actions can have big benefits, like how taking care of your gut can support whole body health. Now, I received some of this, Pete. I don't know if you got it in the mail. Got some probiotics. Comes in a beautiful green jar. And you know, one of those supplements, by just looking at it, it looks healthy. I mean, the capsule is like a dark green. You're like, anything green going into my body just feels like it's going to do stuff. And I got to tell you, the prebiotics, the probiotics, whatever the hell is in this stuff, it's a total readjustment to my gut health. And I don't want to get a little too graphic with it, but what's coming out of me is beautiful. I got to
tell you, man. So tell, I love that travel bottle, too.
The travel bottle, the whole thing. They thought of it all. Seeds DS01 Daily Symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just two little capsules a day. Right, Pete?
Absolutely. And the Seed's patented capsule in capsule design means fragile bacteria can survive the journey from shipping to your door to where it works best in your body. So it gets to where your body really needs it, all without synthetic or chemical coatings. So trust your gut with Seed's DS-01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/thecast and use the code 25 the cast. That's all one thing. The number 25 the cast to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS-01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/thecast. Code 25 the cast. Clean your gut, baby.
This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
I said, take it easy, baby. I worked all day and my feet feel just like lead. You got my shirt tail flying all over the place and the sweat popping out of my head. She said, hey, bossa nova, baby, keep on working, for this ain't no time to quit.
All right. Welcome to the Pete and Sebastian Show. We are in Las Vegas at the Wynn Hotel. I got to tell you, man, what's going on here?
Yes.
It's serious.
It is.
It felt real, real professional,
mm-hmm.
which we're not used to.
Right.
You know, with the microphones, we can't really move.
Right.
If you do move, you got to move the microphone with you.
Even the way Zach said it. If you move away from your microphone, we will not pick you up. We will have no audio on you, and they will not hear you. If you move, move the microphone with you, and make sure you project the entire... Guy, am I landing a fucking seven? Oh,
okay.
I forgot. We're coming into the lobby, too. What I'm saying is reaching the lobby.
That's
the only
okay.
one in Vegas who can't swear. All right.
You could swear, you could do whatever you want. I'm just saying, be mindful
mm-hmm.
that this is in the hallway. And
yes.
you guys can't really see this, but there's a hallway out here. Oh, yeah. Wow. They even got a camera.
Oh, wow.
On the hallway.
Oh, here we go. Now people are looking.
Nobody really. There we go. We got some people checking in. We're supposed to have an audience here. It's early in the morning.
It is early.
And we'll have some people watching periodically throughout the day.
Oh, there goes. All right. Let's keep the camera on. That guy went by to see him. Security's got to be eyeballing him the whole way through.
What Pete doesn't know is that that guy just heard that. Oh, sorry. I got to laugh into the mic. So we also noticed Brian, who's a producer here, and Patrick, who's our producer. And you brought this to my attention. We're having kind of a pissing contest
yes.
of what they knew
mm-hmm.
about cameras and cables and shit.
Right.
Could you give us a little play-by-play what we walked into?
Before you got here, I was trying to tell you, it's so funny because you can see it in these kind of camera and tech guys when they try to out-tech each other. Because Patrick goes, Brian goes, well, you know, if someone just comes through the doorway unexpectedly, Patrick goes, well, I'll catch him on a handheld. And then the guy goes, oh, you could set up, Brian goes, you could set up a double tripod cat over here with a cap thing. And I could even see Patrick's head be like, oh my God, he knows about the double tripod cap thing. Wow. Like each one feels like they could have the other one's job like that.
Yeah.
I can do what you do in my sleep, guys. Bro, we're in the wrong spot because everyone's just pleading with me to get you to look.
No, no, no. Hey, what's going on? How's it going, everybody? Yeah. Thank you for coming to the Pete and Sebastian show. It's okay, though. What? It's okay. We're getting some fans as we do this at the hotel. I want to get into a few things that is, first of all, you have a new haircut. Yeah. Generally speaking, your wife cuts your hair.
She did. She was let go recently. I had to let her go after I went out to you and we did the whole run with Whitney Cummings and Andy Garcia. I felt like if we did the shows during that run outside, a bird would have landed in my head. All right. It was out of control. And Jackie's like, did Sebastian notice? I go, notice. He tried to see if he could get his kid's hair cutter to do me on the side. But the person wasn't even there yet. I go, it was terrible. I met Andy Garcia with a rat's nest. And the last time I was on with you, I was unshaved. I am making it my mission this year to care more about my physical appearance. So I took it to a professional. $23 masterpiece you're looking at right now.
I have to tell you, it looks a lot better. No disrespect to Jackie.
No, she doesn't take any disrespect.
But it looks a lot better. It looks even.
Thank you.
And I got to tell you, last time you were at my house, based on your appearance alone, I was thinking about canceling the cast.
I know, man. I was, you know, I mean, literally, Whitney Cummings took one look at me and thought to herself, what was I thinking? What was in the air in Canada that made me think that this guy was cool for 10 minutes? But I'm back on track, baby.
No, it was like one of those appearances where after you leave that night, I was talking to Lana and I told her, I go, I got to call Pete to see if everything's okay.
That's a joke, right?
That's sarcasm. Okay.
But I did when I got the haircut, Jackie, God bless her, took me. She's like, let me take you to where they do my hair. They're the best in town. For what I was getting, I know there's some other people that do hair in my town that listen. I don't want to think they're not good too, but for what I was looking to have done. But after I was done and the woman was ringing me up underneath the counter so she can't see the woman, I have out a 5 and a 10 and like, and I'm pointing to Jackie like, what the tip? You ever do that move? I'm like, yeah. And I hold up, I'm doing the pop on the 10.
So it was a $23 haircut with a $10 tip?
Yeah.
Okay. And this is in Fredonia?
Yes.
I mean, the price is there.
Innovations.
What is it?
Innovations.
Innovations. I'm telling you, the prices in Fredonia are reminiscent of 1973. I never even heard of such a thing. $23 for a haircut.
I was at the mechanic the other day and the woman takes a phone call when I was waiting to talk to her and she's going, I know, sweetie, I know that's a lot. Oh gosh. Yeah. 419. Hold on. She crunches some number. I can get it down to 340. And she's like, yeah, that's the best I could do. And I don't even know what he's getting done, but I want to grab the phone and go, guy, do you realize I don't even know what you're getting done anywhere else in the world? We're talking 1,000. All right. So take the 340 and you know. But that's it's small town living, man. So I love it, man. A cup of coffee for $1.50. Yeah. Timmy Hose is getting pricey.
It's amazing. And talking about small town, you did send an article.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah. To Patrick in regards to some of the stuff.
You can't help but the woman wants to take a nice photo of you. Lovely lady.
What's going on?
Yeah, big fan. Hey, you know, she's waving.
Oh, wave. Sorry.
She took a photo.
So you're in a small town. For those of the people that are in the hallway that might not know, Pete lives in Fredonia, New York. There was an issue at the school with a nurse calling out sick. And what, they shut down the whole district or just the school?
That we have one nurse for the school is a high school, middle school, and elementary. It's all right there. And when the nurse couldn't make it in, there's no backup nurse. And legally, the school can't stay open. So I called, I was on the road, and Jackie goes, there's no school today because the nurse called in sick. So I'm like, it's a whole thing, but Should we get into that right now? Or because we got people clapping, looking, and you know.
Yeah, this is a show. We are not catering.
All right.
To the people watching in the hallway. This is the Pete and Sebastian show.
Right.
And when this is it.
This is it, baby. So yeah, all right. So I sent you the photo, right? So a buddy of mine puts on Facebook that he's going to the town school board meeting to talk about it when they have the next one. So people are supposed to all go. I go, nobody's there that like said they were going to be there. My guy couldn't make it. Good dude. He just couldn't make it. So the whole school board's up there, man. And they say they're trying to do something about it. And they go, does anyone have anything to say? And some woman had something separate to say. And then she was done. And I'm like, I came here for a reason. I'm like, I'd like to. Now, bro, I've done stand-up specials, even doing this live or whatever. For some reason, I've talked now twice in front of the board, once for the town, once for the school. I get so nervous. It's the hardest thing to do. I freak out. I'm like, don't care. Don't curse. Be smart. So I went up in front of them and I just said to all of them, I was like, okay, I realize you're trying to do something about this, but I just need to point out because the emails aren't working enough. Do you have any idea how insane it is for you to shut down because there's no nurse? I'm like, that's insane. I go, not to mention how embarrassing all the other school districts are laughing at us. This is insane. You know, so I'm really just going that route. Got a little bit of applause. It made me feel better. Then I went to sit down and one lady had to lean in and go, I just want to point out, it's not the nurse's fault or whatever. And I'm like, the nurse's fault? Of course it's not the nurse's fault. It's your fault. All of you guys, get it. This shit can never happen again. I did the fingers together. You understand? This can never happen again. And the head of the superintendent, God bless this guy, he's very professional. He goes, I agree. Boom. You know? And he's on it. But we got a problem. The problem is, our nurse, is what I found out, they're on part of the non-teachers union. Okay? So they get paid the same amount as like the person in the cafeteria or the maintenance. Nurses can make more money. So they don't want to be a nurse at our school because they can make more money somewhere else. So every school, and what we're trying to do is make the nurse now part of the teachers union. But the head of the non-teachers union goes, I'm not going to take a vote to let the nurses leave our union unless you give everyone else a raise. So this lady's Jimmy Hoffa, throwing a Jimmy Hoffa on us, you know what I'm saying?
The way this is going with you.
Yeah.
I see within the next 3 to 5 years, you running for office.
No way.
Bro, this is how it starts. You get involved with the community.
Yeah.
You become the voice of the people.
Right.
Next thing you know, you're running for mayor. Yeah. And we could very well see you as the governor of New York in, I'd say 5 to 7 years. The way this is going, bro.
They're gonna be like, if you ever smoked pot, I'd be like, I just smoked pot before this briefing. What does that have to do with anything, you know? So yeah, I don't know. I'm not getting that deep, but I feel like go ahead.
Is it because of living in a small town? You feel like you got to go to these things? Because for me, living in a big city all my life, I never went to any board meeting to express my feelings on A, B, or C topic. I'm always the guy like, all right, so they're doing that, let them do it or whatever. What am I going to do?
Right.
That's my attitude.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right attitude to have. I mean, I commend you for going in.
You got a short memory because, you know, you were helping one of these guys that was running for the mayor of L.A.
I wasn't helping.
Well, you weren't helping him, but you were chatting with him. You know the governor. You met the governor. So, you know, I mean.
Yeah, but it's like, I'm not going to like.
You don't have to. You got the governor on speed dial, bro. If I had Hochul on speed dial, you think I would have been at that thing? I would have been on with Hochul. All right, but anyway, no, I know what you're saying.
No, but I see you being the voice of the people, voice of the community, yeah. And the fact that you have public speaking skills doesn't hurt. I don't know why you're getting nervous.
They're not doing good.
Bro, I'm telling you, why don't you just start when you go to these things with a little crowd work?
They don't even get me though. They don't find me funny at all. It's crazy.
I mean, if you went up there and you started doing like, hey, what's going on, everybody? You see the coffee shop they open up down the street?
I think in their eyes, it's like if Hitler opened up with a knock-knock joke, you still know what's coming. You know what I mean? I mean, they're like, just get to the yelling. We all know you're going to yell at us, so don't open up with a joke.
But yeah, I saw the photo in the paper.
Yeah, yeah.
They had of you with the microphone. Oh, and right. I got to tell you, just by looking at the photo, very serious. This is a Pete that I'm not really familiar with.
Yes.
Like right. The community service Pete.
Yeah.
And it was a little jarring to see you like serious. I don't know if I like it.
I don't like it either, man. I don't like having to be that kind of person. But again, you know, it's like it's sometimes I just, when I go in, I just let you know that it's a problem. Like if just letting the town know, take care of this. And you know, you say you don't get involved. Your schools would never shut down because the nurse called in sick. And God bless this nurse at our school. This poor lady, she's half on a deathbed. She's probably got strep throat. She's like, I got to go in or no one's going to learn math today, poor lady. So there's too much pressure on her.
Well, she's also got to be happy now that you could possibly get her into the teachers union, which I think would be more benefits, more pay.
And now I got my guy's coming to the next one who couldn't make the last one. And he's got all the information. He's going to like blow them away with like when he gets up there.
You need a fat guy on one of these things. You come in there with a lot of emotion. You have nothing to back up
totally
any of your statements. You need a guy like this to come in and like later. You know, in 1961, we had this issue. He's done some research.
Because the minute someone hits me with a stat, right? Like, well, it does show that if the nurse can't make it, money has saved. I'll just go, whatever, guy. Whatever with your shit. You know, so you need your guy.
This episode is sponsored by Seed. Small actions can have big benefits, like how taking care of your gut can support whole body health. Now, I got this in the mail. I used it for about a week, and I could totally tell the difference in my digestion just by taking 2 capsules per day. Your body is an ecosystem, and great health starts in the gut. Your gut is a central hub for various pathways through the body, and a healthy gut microbiome means benefits from digestion, skin health, heart health, your immune system, and more. Right, Pete?
Absolutely. I mean, not only that, but the travel bottle this stuff comes with when you're on the road, a little glass tube bottle, very classy. But Seed's DS1 Daily Symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, heart health, in just 2 little capsules a day. And like I said, you can bring them on the road in this nice travel tube. And Seed's patented capsule-in-capsule design means fragile bacteria can survive the journey from shipping to your door where it works best in your body. So it gets to where your body really needs it, man, all without synthetic or chemical coatings. Tell them where they can get this, bro.
Trust your gut with Seed's DS-1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/thecast. Use the code 25thecast to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS-01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/thecast, code 25thecast.
You're right.
Okay, so that all being said, prior to starting the show, I was on a FaceTime call with my wife and 2 kids. They're camping, right?
Very nice.
So on the departure of the call, my daughter called me Papa, and I hung up, and you said you had a problem with my daughter calling me Papa. You said that was reserved for like a grandfather.
Bye-bye. I don't know how I feel about Papa.
Ooh.
I don't know. What's your take? I feel like that's your dad to them. Your dad.
Papa. Well, actually, it's a variety. I'm called a variety of different things based on the feeling and emotion at the time. Now, I want to ask you before we get into what my daughter's calling me.
Right.
Does Sadie just call you dad?
She does. She's, you know, tried variations, but I've made it clear. Dad, you know? Okay. When I was a kid, I don't know, I was like 13 or 14, and one time I called my dad. I go, what's up, big guy? And he goes, it's dad. You know, kind of like with you with Sebastian, it's not S-E-B, it's Sebastian. And now I get it. As I'm older, I'm dad. I'm not all your nicknames. I'm dad. maybe daddy if you're a girl. That's cool too. So, yeah, when I heard Poppy, I'm like, Poppy, I was looking for your father behind us. You're dad. You're the man. You're no variations on you, dad. And isn't it beautiful? Like when your kid calls you dad, I'm like, dad, you're a dad, bro.
I agree. I love dad. I love daddy.
Yeah.
But there's some variation. Sometimes I'll get a poppy.
That's because you're allowing the poppy. No.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. However, my son, This was about, I don't know, 3 months ago, jokingly, he goes, "Hey, what's up, bro?" I go, "Oh, now, right away, I'm like, who's he hanging out with at school? Because I know this is coming from somebody else that calls their father bro.
And he's
picking it up. I go, it ain't bro. and he's smiling while I say this. And then I, you ever have to get like, oh, daddy ain't kidding voice?
Yeah.
I go, it's dad.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, dad.
Right.
So there has been some, like I said, variations off the word dad. What about if Sadie's explaining something to a friend, would you rather be referred to as, you know, my father doesn't really like that, or my dad doesn't really like that? This is when you're not even there.
My dad. I'll hear her say, my dad, you know. She'll sometimes, about Jackie though, we'll be talking and she'll go, she'll look at Jackie and go, that's not what she said. I'm like, not what who said. And she'll be like, that's not what mom said. I go, don't ever he, she, your mother ever, all right? Before you go any further, I want to ask you, I don't have a son. Is there a age limit you feel where your boy can't add the Y, where it can't be daddy anymore?
He's 4 and a half.
That's still daddy.
Going on 5. He's still doing daddy, which I don't think is a problem.
No.
But if he's, you know, I don't know. It's a good question, bro, because, I mean, what if he's 17 and he goes, daddy? You know what? Speaking of this, and I've actually had this conversation with my dad. My dad, well into his 60s, every once in a while would call his father daddy. Or if he's talking to his brother, they said, "Did you talk to daddy today?" And I was like,
whoa,
60? And we're still throwing a Y on it? It's the same. Isn't it the same thing as, like, I've often wondered this. Your name's Pete, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say growing up, were you ever referred to as Petey?
Not too much.
Okay.
Not too much.
So these guys that are Johnny, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And they're 50, 60.
Right.
And they're still Jimmy, Jim.
Right.
What's your take on like carrying a Y on your own personal name into your 50s, 60s, and 70s?
Or to that, the nickname. Like my father-in-law, they called him Flat Top for years because he had flat hair. He's 86 years old. Sometimes you still see a man and go, "Hey, Flatty, Flatty." Which guys, we get some World War II together? So, yeah, Flatty or the Y on the end of your name. It goes back to a birth certificate pronunciation by about 62, right? If I'm no longer Richie, I'm Richard.
Yeah. Richard.
Yes.
Like Jimmy Fallon, right? Could he ever throw it over to Jim? Jim Fallon?
I think if he called himself Jim, his whole demeanor would change. You know, he's always like, "Hey man, cool. Like, it's Jim for now." I'm like, "Oh, thank God. I am tired of being that bouncy frat boy." You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I feel like they go hand in hand.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, but it's an interesting topic. And
well, what's with, like, you know, you know, De Niro on a personal level. I know this has never come up. I'm not saying, I'm just using him as an example. When you're in his inner circle, do you call him Bobby? Because I know I see, like, I hear interviews and Joe Pesci be like, "Bobby and I," like, you know.
Yeah, no, there's never been a moment where I'd actually had to refer to the man by his name.
Oh.
You know, very, very rarely in any conversation do I use the person's name. I think we might have covered this on a previous episode. Like, when you're talking to somebody or somebody's talking to you and they go, "Pete, you know what? I really, really enjoyed what you did the other day. first of all, I feel like if somebody does throw my name in a conversation, I'm now super attentive
yes.
of what they're going to say next.
Yeah.
I don't generally throw people's names out while I'm talking to them. Like, I never really hear you go, Sebastian, did you really enjoy that cup of coffee the other night? Yeah. Like, or whatever.
No, I know. I want to call you different things because I've known you so long. Like, hey, what's up, bro? And this and that. But I don't do that either, though, because I feel like, well, sometimes I'm not sure what the person's name is. And then I don't want them to think, listen, next time I see you, I might not remember it. So let's not even start doing the name thing that much. Got to give it away. There's some people.
Oh, hey, what's going on? Oh, I got Chicago Bears fans over here. Now, talking about the Chicago Bears, I got a buddy of mine back in Chicago. His name's Mario. He's excited about the Chicago Bears and some of the acquisitions that have happened on the offseason.
Right.
And this guy will know. Being a Chicago Bears fan, listen, the Chicago Bears could have had Tom Brady in his prime and not won a Super Bowl. Whoever the Bears acquire, like this Justin Fields, everybody's bitching, oh, we got to get rid of him, this and that. If you get rid of Justin Fields, he's going to go win a Super Bowl somewhere else. That's just right. The way it is with the Chicago Bears.
Right. Okay.
They could have the best people. They got to sell the team. And I often say, right? I mean, don't they got to sell them? These McCaskies, it's like.
Well, you're going to get the guy Caleb Williams now. Is that his name? The
we're
awesome...
going to ruin him. We're going to ruin the guy.
I heard he doesn't even really want you guys to pick him.
I don't blame
but
him.
He's denying that, but that was a big thing out there. Yeah,
the Chicago Bears, generally speaking, they're cheap. They're a cheap organization, and they don't really...
Oh, that's tough, man. Well, listen, you're talking to a Jet fan, so, you know.
Speaking of ownership, I went over to the Intuit Dome for some promotional stuff.
I saw that video. Unbelievable.
Okay. I got to tell you what this guy's doing.
Tell the listeners, what is this place he's building?
Intuit Dome is going to be the new home of the Los Angeles Clippers, right?
Okay.
Steve Ballmer, who used to be the CEO of Microsoft, basically the guy responsible for Xbox, is the owner of the team. Guy's worth $120 billion, like the sixth wealthiest man in the world, right? Now, I go down there to do, I'm playing the Dome August 17th. We go down there to do some promotional videos with him and what have you. But he's taking me through the place. Now, there's what they call a halo screen around it, similar to one at SoFi. It wraps around the whole stadium. There's no like scoreboard anymore. It's the screen is like a 360 screen. It's an acre worth of screen up there he's got, double-sided.
Oh, my God.
Right? You could do anything on it as far as how many images you want to throw up there, video, what have you. Then he's got electricity in each seat. So each seat, there's an outlet where you could charge your phone or what have you. And all the seats have a noise monitoring system, which they could pinpoint what section is the louder section. So they could have like contests throughout the building. For example, the way they put it is, let's say Russell Westbrook hits a three-pointer and everybody screams. During the timeout, they're like, section 203 were the loudest on Russell Westbrook's three-point shot. And they got cannons in the scoreboard that will shoot to that section Russell Westbrook t-shirts. Oh. The Bears ain't doing that. Thank you.
So
his whole motivation is to have the fans in their seats cheering at all times. And in order to do that, he's taken some severe measures. There is no mirrors in the bathrooms. So when people go to the bathroom, they've decided or they did research that a lot of people spend time looking at themselves in the mirrors, therefore taking away you being in your seat. So he's eliminated the mirrors in the bathroom, right? Number two, there's three times as many bathrooms in this arena than any other arena because he don't want people waiting in line to take a piss. He wants people back in their seats cheering.
Yeah.
The concession stands. And you know how sometimes you go to a sporting event and you're like, oh, where's that pizza place that I passed, it's all the way on the other side.
Right.
Every concession stand, they did research on this. There's 13 items that people buy when they're at a game, whether it be a hot dog, hamburger, pizza slice, popcorn. They've taken those 13 popular items, and that's all that's on the menu. There's nothing, there's no fat on the menu.
Right.
People ain't ordering cashews. They're not on the menu.
Okay.
And they got those items all throughout the whole building. So no matter what concession stand you got, it's got the same thing. You don't have to go, you know,
love it,
180 paces down to get yourself the cheeseburger you want. And I don't know why they don't do this at every sporting event. You know, at halftime, you go to the bathroom, you maybe get a drink, whatever. You don't even know when the game's starting. So this guy's lowering the lights like a Broadway theater. So when it's halftime's over, you'll get a light indicator. Go back to your seat. It's time to cheer.
Right, right.
So the way he's set it up there and the amount of money, he took us through the locker room. The locker room is, each locker is 7 feet wide, and it houses 36 pairs of sneakers.
This is amazing.
It's one of the most, and I've been in a lot of these arenas, it's going to be the footprint of the future of what people are going to be doing with these arenas.
My only short-term concern, as a past heckler, it's a beautiful art, okay? I mean, I remember being in the Garden, and I was on Bobby Knight once for an Indiana game. I was young, and he was yelling at a player on his team, and as he's yelling at him, I'm yelling at great seats, "Hit him, Bobby, I know you want to hit him." You know, because Bobby was fine. I made the paper the next day that, like, one particular fan was brutally all over Bobby Knight. My buddy found it for me. He even brought it up recently. He came to my show in Chicago. He's like, "Remember that article on Bobby Knight when you were ripping on him?" So I'm afraid this new system this guy has is like, you used Russell Westbrook, for example, hit a three-pointer. He's a great player, not a very good outside shooter. So what if someone yells out, "Hey, Russell, that's your third one this year. That's $3 million per three-pointer we're paying you." Can they also go, "That was 23B. That came from 23B. Goodbye." Right? So everyone's going to sit there in total silence with their 13 items. So don't move. Just keep cheering. Holy shit, this is frightening. You know, he's trying to eliminate the stroll through the stadium. I respect that, but give me a reason to sit. You know what I mean? You can't give me the Chicago Bears and expect me to sit in my seat. You know what I mean?
I think you could still heckle and do all that stuff. Okay. And maybe they'll be able to tell where the heckler's coming from. Mm-hmm.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
I want to wrap this around to what you said earlier before we even got on the air. Mm-hmm. And I'll show you where I'm going with this. You said something funny about the win, and I don't know if you're willing to share it now that we have.
Oh, absolutely. And my point is being proved if you just flash the glass.
Okay. What Pete was saying, guys, prior to the show, why don't you give them what your feeling is on the win hotel?
I don't normally come to Vegas, but I've been here twice now, and the win is just an absolutely beautiful facility, top shelf. And I was saying to Sebastian before the show, if you walk around the win, I wish this was America. I wish this was every neighborhood. Everyone dresses nice. Everybody's nice to each other. You know what I mean? Everyone having a good time. No white trash.
I don't know.
I've been to too many Walmarts, folks. I've been to too many Walmarts.
I
bought pants at Walmart recently. Oh my God, I love them.
You bought pants at Walmart?
I bought pants at Walmart.
What's the brand?
Wranglers. Beige. Oh. Wear them every day.
Okay.
That's a tough one to digest, bro.
How do you go from the win?
I gotta make fun of myself too, because of what I just said.
No, so. How much are Wranglers at Walmart? Give me a price point on that.
$16.99. Wow. And bro, they fit better than my Joe and Diesel jeans. It's the hardest part about
go ahead.
Buying clothes from Walmart is it, you don't want to be seen buying clothes at Walmart. You got to, like, even if you see someone on your way to the register, you drop the pants.
Why? Everybody's a shopping there. What does it matter? Everybody's in the same community.
Not that, you know, the clothes section, though, there's, I don't see a lot of people getting clothes there. Produce, appliances, electronics, not jeans.
Well, let's take it back to produce.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the bananas that you're buying at Walmart are the same quality as the jeans?
I mean, if the bananas we have don't have the video you show with the green rash on your bananas. Yeah, I saw that the other day. Walmart's got better bananas than whatever they're growing out there in Cali.
Oh, listen, I don't know what that was. And that came from a grocery store. I think that was maybe a Whole Foods or a Bristol Farm purchase. But what I'm saying is, do you think Walmart is getting top-notch produce, or do you think Walmart gets the produce that, like, the other stores don't want?
Yeah, I think they get, you know how, like, a place like the Wynn, I got an orange yesterday at the gym at the Wynn. Like, I know this orange is going to be juicy and delicious. My banana I got at the Wynn, perfect banana. Hampton Inn ain't getting the Wynn bananas. You know what I'm saying? They get the ones that aren't done yet. And the same thing with Walmart. Yeah, they're like, anyone who shops at Walmart, they're like, listen, you got to stuff fruit down these people's throat anyway. They don't even want it. They wouldn't know what a good apple tastes like. They're probably dipping it in chocolate anyway.
Oh, come on. That's gold, people. Why are you laughing? Jeez.
Oh, because look at the people out here. They don't even know what Walmart is. That's what I'm saying about the Wynn clientele.
You know,
Trader Joe's jokes for these people who get it.
If Steve Wynn, who no longer owns the place, but if he remodeled America,
oh my God.
I mean, that's what we're talking about, right?
Unbelievable. Absolutely, man. That's what I'm talking about.
I think America needs a dancing fountain in every city.
Oh, yeah, that would. Yeah,
I mean, Rick Caruso's like this in Los Angeles. He's got outdoor malls. He basically ripped off Bellagio and put a dancing fountain in the middle of his mall. And every hour, it goes off to whatever, Elvis, Frank Sinatra, what have you.
See, now, I feel like if you're going to a mall that you know has a dancing fountain, it makes you dress nicer. Like, you're going to go with your dirty jeans and you go, they got the fountain. Listen, we're talking about Element. I wanted to ask you a question. Last night, again, great place here. After the late show, I watched you for a while, another great show. I was getting to my hotel now, I had an elevator. Had a couple moons in me, feeling good. Now, there was like three of us in the elevator, and they started peeling off. So at the end, it was just me and a guy who looked a little suspect, all right? Big, tall guy, red beard. And I go, as I'm going to get ready to get off, I go, I hope you had a good evening. He's like, I did. And I go, have a good night, sir. And he's like, you as well. Now, I got off the elevator, and I thought to myself, there's a chance that guy could have been a serial killer who was going to get off with me and stab me, but didn't because I was nice, right? It made me think, do you think, I wish we had an FBI guy on right now, that there's ever been a serial killer that was going to kill somebody, but didn't because, like, that person did something nice for them, right? Like, when I leave this grocery store, I'm going to kill the guy online in front of me in the parking lot. And then the guy in line in front of me goes, you got to buy a coffee or something? And the guy doesn't even know. You just saved your own life, bro.
But do you think the serial killer, let's say a guy who is a serial killer, knows that he's going to kill you in the elevator? Or do you think it just happens where you get off and he goes, I'm going to get this guy? And he, or do you think,
yeah.
Is it just impulsive?
That's
what I'm
question.
Saying.
Like, does a serial killer wash his hands at night, do his hair, going, I'm going to kill somebody, right? Or does it come on him at the mall, like, you know, I can't even go home until I murder somebody right now, right?
Well.
And do you think I have a family holds any weight? I hear that a lot when they go to kill someone. The person says, I have a family. Has anyone ever went, oh, I didn't know you.
I got two kids. Can't do it. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I have a family holds any weight because I feel this guy is so out of his mind.
Right.
He don't even know what a family is to begin with. Right.
He probably had one too before he stabbed them to death before he got to you.
How about you reverse it? Do you go to the serial killer? You have a family.
That's funny, bro. That's a good bit. Are you people getting any of this out there? I don't even know what's going on. Holy shit. A free show out there.
But you let's rewind it to the elevator. Okay. You're in an elevator, yeah. And I'm not much of a talker in the elevator at all.
Oh, no.
Right?
No,
I'm not
normally
doing hellos.
That was the moons.
That was the moons. Okay, yeah, you were a little buzzed out. People walk on the elevator. I mean, okay, you're coming down. You're on 17. You stop on 13.
Yeah, yeah.
People get in.
Mm-hmm.
Are you obligated to say hello? Because don't you feel like it's your house that people are coming? If you're the only one in the elevator.
True. It is true.
You're a guest.
Right.
Because I got on here first.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. You see how I'm keeping it. I expect you to get on, do the same. Well, you know, what did we do before phones? Like now you just pull out your phone and pretend you're looking at something, you know?
Yeah, but yeah.
Like, you know, we used to just get on. Hi, how are you? Good. How are you? Oh my God. It's crazy how we used to do all that.
Well, here's the thing why I don't want to start any conversations, especially on the way down, because you don't know how many stops you're going to do. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're on 17, it stops at 16, people get on. Hey, how you doing? Good. Oh, last night, you know, we went on. And now other people get on. And now the other people are subject to hearing the conversation that you already started.
Right.
I ain't putting people in that position.
Right?
That's why I just shut my mouth, head down, and wait till you get out of the elevator. And I don't do any of this as I leave, have a good night, out of the blue. Especially if you haven't spoke the whole ride.
Right.
Now you get out all of a sudden, have a good night.
Oh. Just doesn't it seem so uncivilized to get off? Like without saying something to the other person?
Not if you haven't said anything to begin with.
It's true, but still, even when I get off, if I don't, I'm like, this is weird. Then they go, good night. They go, good night. And I'm like, good night. Oh, God, thank you for making it civil. You know? But yeah, you're right. If you don't say anything to begin with, why does it matter at all? But bro, that's why someday you may get murdered and I won't, because you're not hitting them with a good night when you get off.
What's your take on this? People come out of the elevator. You're still in the elevator. People get off their floor.
Yeah.
And they make a wrong turn, right? Uh-huh. And I've done this, right?
Yeah.
Where I've gone to the right, but it's a wall.
Uh-huh.
And I got to go to the left. Do you do an overpronounced like, oh, or do you act like you were going that way anyway? And then you just did a whip around?
Yeah, why you wait till the doors close and then you come back over to where you were.
Oh, you'll go towards a wall?
Oh, yeah. Don't let the people in the elevator know you got off at the wrong spot. You ever see the people that get back on when they go, oh, I thought it was in the bottom. They get, like, you ever get off, like you're saying, it's not your floor? That's the other one I'm saying. When you get off, you think it's the lobby, but it's only like the gym.
Yeah.
Or people go to get off. What? How about this one? I'm on like the 17th floor. And it's coming down and it opens up and someone goes to get off and they go, oh, I thought I was down. I want to go. You're 17 floors away. You thought you were already down. That one always blows me away. But is this where we are? We're talking elevator talk.
Hey, you know what? I figured this is a hotel. We're catering to our audience. They're staying at a hotel. They probably just went to the Terrace Cafe and had a beautiful. What do you got? Notes?
I got notes.
Let's get into the notes. Jeez. This guy brought notes to the thing. So what do you got? Is your coffee mug burned?
Yes. I thought I smelled that. Yeah, the microwave burned it a little. You believe that?
I
thought Lindsay was going to hook us up with coffee.
Well, why would she hook you up with coffee?
Because she asked if there was coffee. And Patrick, I said, tell her it's just a machine here that's a little shoddy. And if she stops, I'll take a red eye. She didn't stop.
I'm sorry. Does Patrick look a little too relaxed to be producing the show? I mean, I
don't even think he's in charge. This guy, Zach, did a countdown, took over the whole thing.
By the way, everybody,
I've never seen Patrick.
This is Patrick, everybody. This is our producer who's enjoying the show as you are, in a seat. He doesn't even have the mic hooked into his mouth. It's up here. Are you okay with the coffee, bro? I'm not even into this microwaving coffee bullshit. All right. It's like once the coffee goes cold, to me it's dead.
Right.
You don't refresh it in the microwave.
Right. No.
Microwave coffee has a tinny taste to it.
Yeah.
Not into it.
Yeah, yeah. You can tell there's some radiation going on in there. Absolutely.
What tell me about First of all, tell me about one of the notes that you have on your piece of paper over there. I feel like where did you even get the small piece of paper?
Is that this is from the hotel.
Okay.
Wind has great pens too. I don't know if you guys are staying here. If you come across a Wind pen, take it. Way better than your average pen.
You take all the toiletries in the room.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Take everything home. Just whatever's not stapled to the.
Absolutely. Stocking stuff is. I wish they wouldn't put the W on all their products. I'd give it as gifts.
So what do you got?
I got various things to get into. I mean, one was, I'll start here with my, I don't know where you're at. You talk about forgetting stuff, okay? I'm getting a little concerned in my life because I had a layover in Chicago to come here and I had a roller bag and I will carry on. And you know, I fly light. So I usually just have a carry on. I brought a roller bag because I knew we were doing shows here and I didn't know if I need extra clothes. Now in Chicago, a guy stopped me. I just got a cup of coffee at this place called whatever. I got a cup of coffee and I'm walking away. And then this guy stops me. He's a fan of the cast and my stand up. And when you're a fan of mine, you want a photo. I put the coffee down. I take the coat off. I put the bag down. I do it like, you know, mall Santa Claus. We're going to do this. We're going to do it nice. So I take a photo with the guy, very appreciative. And I only bring that up because now when I went to gather all my things and the guy's saying, hey, man, I just sent the last cast. I'm like, oh, excuse me. Holy shit, bro. I had it in my bag. I left my bag at the coffee place.
Oh, wow.
And we're talking like 15 gates away. So now I'm running with my coffee going, oh, my God, my bag. What's going to happen? I'm spilling my coffee. I finally get there, and one of the people that works at the coffee place is literally wheeling it away to take it to security. I'm like, that's my bag. It's my bag. And they're like, oh, we were wondering. Have you done this now? Are you like, it's one thing to forget a name, but it's getting dangerous now. All right. I'm forgetting my bag. It gets cold in the winter. I take the dog out at night at about 10:30. I have these fears. I wake up in the middle of the night that I forgot to bring it back in. And in the morning, it just frozen to death. So you having any big memory forgets?
I'm not having any big moments like that. However, I do want to talk about the airport run, which I've analyzed over the years being in so many airports.
Right.
You ever see people running at the airport to catch a flight, right?
Right.
Now, that run that they're doing in the airport, I feel is only reserved for the airport. Like that, if you saw them running on the street, that run wouldn't look like the airport run.
Correct.
And a lot of the times the airport run, you're attached to some luggage. There's a bag over your shoulder. There's coffee.
Yeah.
I feel you can't get a good sprint going at the airport.
By the way, I'm interrupting you. You're a bit last night about the do your normal walk when the doctor tells you to do your normal walk. Yeah. I was dying. That was so funny. Because the same thing when you run, it's not your normal run. But bro, that was such a funny bit. No, oh, making me laugh.
Thank you. And I feel like at the airport, the reason you're running that way is because people are looking at you.
Right. You got to keep it classy. It's more like a, you know what I mean? You can't be a full on.
I feel you can't breathe. You can't breathe while you're running. Like you would normally run and you would have a look on your face, maybe of anguish or defeat or what have you. I feel like you got to run almost like you're walking or sitting down because people are going, oh, look at this asshole.
Exactly. He's late. Out of 10 people that run in an airport, what percentage do you think the run made the difference? Like they made their shit because they ran.
I got to tell you. I was on the other end of this. Lana and I were running. This was in Germany to catch a flight to Italy. And if we didn't run the way we did, we would have definitely missed the flight because it was one of those we got there and they were closing the door. And I'm like, babe, if we wouldn't have done this, we would have missed the flight.
Aww.
So I do think that the run has some benefits to it.
Right.
Listen, I've never been to Vegas in mid-March and people are like, you need mittens. I don't know what's going on out there. They opened up the pool last week. They had to shut it down because it was snowing the other day here. So, thank God for the cast. And people got something to do during the day because generally people are coming from cold cities. They want to get a little sun and you can't Can't even do that.
No, I see a lot of people this morning, guys walking around with golf clubs over their shoulder, like with this like pissed look, like, come on, man, what the hell's going on?
That beautiful golf course out here, by
the way.
Enough
with the West Coast drought shit. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it for a long time from you people, all right? I don't know. We're done. You guys got plenty of water. My shower of pressure is so hard. I think it's because they have so much water. They're just like grateful when anyone turns anything on. Like, get this shit out. Right?
We're good, from what I understand, with the drought until 2026. So yeah. I don't want to hear anything either in Los Angeles about you can't water your lawn.
Fire it up, baby.
And by the way, I don't really listen to the rules.
Right. Yeah.
If someone says you could only take one shower every 2 days,
right?
Do you listen to that?
No. Are you kidding me? I did. Not only do I not listen to rules, I got a good one for you. Flying United out here. Lindsay hooked it up. I'm in boarding group 4. And they're like, anyone beyond boarding group 3, we're going to have to check your bag all the way to the gate. You're just not going to have anything left. So I go up and I go, all right. Well, he goes, we need volunteers. So he said first. So I go up and I go, I'll volunteer. Here's my bag. So he puts the ticket on. He goes, all right, when you get down to the end of the tunnel, you hand it in and you can get it at the gate. I'm going to let you board with row 2 for doing that. Yeah, with boarding group 2. And I'm like, thanks a lot, guy. Now I'm in group 2 and I'm like, well, now I can get it overhead. Because he just let me go in group 2. So as I'm going down the gate, I ripped the freaking tag off the gate tag, put it in my pocket, put that shit in. And just to check, because sometimes you ever like when you go past them, they board the plane, they're also your flight attendant. I'm so on it, like with my scumbag move, what I'm going to do, that as he's doing walking by and I go, you coming to Vegas with us? And he goes, no, I'm staying here. And in my head, I'm like, good to know. I'm going to rip the tag off walking down the aisle. So there you go, man. Oh, I'm always beat. I'm just like you, right? The rules are for you regulars.
No, I'm just not.
You're not what?
I'm not doing things that cannot be checked.
What do you mean it can't be checked? Right.
If they say you can't water your lawn.
Right.
I'll put the sprinklers on.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I just put the lawn in. It needs to be watered.
Right. Right. You sound like you keep the car running just to spite people, like in the driveway for the weekend. Just keep it running loud. Let the emissions go.
Yeah. I tend to like, if it can't be checked,
right,
I do it.
Well, I mean, a green lawn, if they said to me, you can have a green lawn, but 3 people you don't know in Fredonia would have to pass away for you to have a green lawn, I'd be like, God bless them. I need a green lawn. You know what I mean? A green lawn's a green lawn. Can't be real.
Oh, God.
So, well, do you guys recycle?
We do recycle, but we're not like
militant
about it. If you threw a plastic bottle in my normal garbage, I wouldn't be going, take that out. We have one of it. That thing. You ever go to a house and they're sorting their garbage?
Yeah.
We don't do that. I got to be honest with you, I got like the recycle there just in case somebody comes over and is really serious about recycling.
Right. So they know that you're doing the right thing on some level.
I feel like we've passed that already. Like the recycling thing was big in the 90s, where the big thing was, oh, we got all these landfills. Where are we going to put the garbage? I feel like we're ahead of the game on that. I haven't heard anything about landfills lately. Have you? Like, now the big thing is like global warming. And this. I feel like they go from like landfills, let's try to global warming now, and then something else will come along in the next 10 years that they're telling us to do.
All I know is like, I used to live on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. I'd see the barge come by with all the garbage. And I'm like, oh, I don't know where that's going, but I'm glad I ain't living forever. What about dead people? We can't keep burying everybody. We're going to run out of spots.
You think so? You think that the cemetery? I haven't heard anything about cemeteries.
I drive in sometimes. You land in JFK and you take a car and you pass the cemetery where you're like, oh, I mean, who's licking their chops? The condos you could put up there? How long have these people been dead? Is there a like, I feel like after 100 years, is if you've disintegrated, we can open that lot back
they did
up.
That they did that in Sicily at a cemetery. They were running out of spots, and the people that have been there for 130 years, they said, dig this shit up, get rid of it, Let's start you. Like if you went,
why even dig them up though? Like seriously, just put the parking lot right over them. It's over. It's been, nobody's even visited your shit for 50 years.
That, I think we talked about this.
We have.
If the gravesite has not been visited in, say, 8 years by a family member.
Right.
Do they say, listen, no one's coming. It's almost like a movie. Okay. No one's coming to see the movie. Take it out of the theater.
That's it.
Right. Could you do that with bodies?
Right. I think you should. And first you get rid of
what do you think, guys? Could you remove bodies from the cemetery if nobody's visited them? No. It's got to stay there.
What if they said that they'll give you $1 million house in the Hamptons on the water, but you can have it for 250 grand, but you're going to be right above a gravesite and the bodies are still under there? Yeah, you'll take it. I'll do poltergeist. I'll have an arm come up in the pool while they're making the pool. I wouldn't even care. Found another arm.
This is the Pete Sebastian Show. We are in Las Vegas at the Wynn Hotel this week doing our shows here. We got two shows tonight. We'll see you.
The show has ended.
They said, you talk to Daddy today? And I was like, hey. Whoa, 60? And we're still throwing a Y on it? It's the same.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.